From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today is someone that I have been a fan of for many, many years, one of the best jazz singers in the world, Ms. Jane Monheit. Hello, welcome. Thanks for doing this. It's really nice to meet you.
Thanks for having me. Nice to meet you too.
It's our pleasure. I think this is going to age both of us, but I remember back to a recording you made a long time ago of Waters of March, which just absolutely blew me away. And I think that's where my love affair with your catalog of music started. So I'm really, really thrilled today.
Aw, thank you so much.
You are where today? Where are you joining us from?
I am in Los Angeles. That's where I live now. I'm from New York. Most people still think I live there, but I have lived in LA for 5 years now. And yeah, I love California.
Why LA?
You know, a lot of reasons. I think the biggest thing was, you know, we were ready to leave New York. We were ready to move on. And we had an entire other life here. Like, some of our closest friends from our entire life all lived out here. And so we were like, you know what? Let's go be with our family, man. Our other family. You know, yeah.
So you guys got kind of doubly hit over the last year and a half with the pandemic going on, because your husband is also a drummer and you're a drummer. So both of your professional careers have kind of ground to a halt. How has life been?
It's actually, everything's worked out really well, thanks to technology, because we were able to, you know, do these online shows once a month throughout the pandemic. And it seriously kept us afloat, you know, not only financially, but emotionally. You know, yeah. So that was really amazing to be able to make that happen. Thanks to Rick, who learned all the technology on the fly. All I did was show up and sing. Maybe I glued on lashes that day. But he, you know, he really learned how to do everything.
Going back in time a bit, I know that you come from a musical family. Your mom was a singer. Your father was a banjo player and a guitarist. And you had a grandfather with a big, big love of music.
Yes, massive record collection. He passed away a few years back.
But I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. He had an amazing, wonderful, long life well into his 90s. You know what I
cool.
mean? Like, he had a beautiful life, a very happy life. And the albums that he collected were my childhood. You know, I just spent years sitting on the living room floor with him listening to records. And, you know, it was quite an education.
It is not that typical for youngsters to get interested in jazz. Was that an early interest of yours, or was it more of like the sort of pop, cinematic, Great American Songbook, Disney kind of stuff?
Both. Really all of it. Really all of it, because I was interested in the vocalists, and the vocalists sort of really covered that spectrum. You know, you have someone like Ella, who made the songbook albums, which are, you know, just sparkling strings and Norman Grant's magic and the whole thing. And then she made really, really swinging jazz records, too. Not to say that the songbook records weren't swinging, but, so I was really hearing everything. Original Broadway cast soundtracks, you know, instrumental jazz recordings, you know, every way I could get these tunes from the songbook into my brain, they were getting in there, you know.
You mentioned Ella. I know another of your big influences and favorite artists is Judy Garland.
Yes.
I swear I can actually hear both of them in you when I hear you sing.
Thank you.
What is it that you loved most about each of them?
Well, different things. I mean, for Ella, her sheer musicality, her time, her ability to improvise, but also the warmth with which she sang, and the, you know, the gentleness she could have. And, you know, you just could feel what a kind soul she was in real life when you listened to her sing. It was just beautiful. And then Judy, of course, you know, was the actress, the drama queen, the one who could, you know, take the lyric and rip your heart out, you know, the huge voice, the belter, you know what I mean? So I really love all of those aspects of both of them quite a lot.
I know you've got a pianist to help you out, which is fantastic. I'd love to hear a tune. My guest today is Jane Monheit. Her newest release is called Come What May. You can find information at janemonheitonline.com. What do you want to perform first?
Well, the first song we're going to play is one from my new album, Come What May, on Club 44 Records. It's the coolest label, and it was such a fun record to make. I just love these people so much. We have the best time. So anyway, we made this record and called Come What May. And this tune is called Samba do Avião, which means, you know, samba of an airplane. And accompanying me on the piano is Max Hamer.
Fantastic.
日が沈んでる。 Estou morrendo de saudade. E seu mar, praias sem fim, Rio fosse forfeito pra mim. Cristo Redentor, braços abertos sobre a Guanabara. Este samba só porque eu gosto de você. A morena vai sambar, seu corpo todo balançar. Rio de sol, de céu, de mar. Dentro de mais de minuto estaremos no caminhão. Oh yeah. Rio de Janeiro, Rio de Janeiro, Rio de Janeiro, Rio de Janeiro. Cristo Redentor, braços abertos sobre a Guanabara. Este samba só porque eu gosto de você. A morena vai sambar, seu corpo todo balançar. Rio de sol, de céu, de mar. Água brilhando e peixe esticando e famas nós. Rio de Janeiro, Rio de Janeiro. Oh, Rio de Janeiro, Rio de Janeiro. Rio de Janeiro, Rio de Janeiro.
That is Jane Monheit singing for us today on our JPR Live session from afar. That one found on her new record called Come What May. Information online, janemonheitonline.com. Well, the wait was worth it. That was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is your first record in about 5 years, give or take. Mm-hmm. And I think something like your 12th overall across 20 years now. Is it that hard to believe that you've been making records for 20 years?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yes, well, I started very young. You know, I started right out of college. And
right,
now,
because you're 29 now, right?
Oh, please. I'm 43. I'm 43.
You got one coming up in November, right?
Yes, birthday. I'm a Scorpio. Yeah. Yes, of course. That's like the main thing about Scorpios is we just want to tell you we're Scorpios because we think we're the best sign in the zodiac. We all do. Any Scorpio will tell you we're the best sign. 20 years, it's really something I feel pretty grateful for and amazed by. You know what I mean? Especially now that the pandemic really put everything into perspective. I think it humbled us all. You know, I think jazz musicians are humble folk anyway, for the most part. But, you know, I think it put even more into perspective. And yeah, I don't know. It's an amazing thing that I'm still around, I think.
Well, you gushed there for a minute about Club 44, which is your current record label. Over the years, you have kind of gone into every corner that you could explore in terms of being a recording artist. Major labels, your own label, 100% creative control, nearly 0% creative control from the sounds of it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of recording versus being a touring artist, it seems like that balance has shifted back and forth a few times over those 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started out, records were still really selling. It was still a big thing. We were all doing great. You know what I mean? Now that's not as much of a thing, you know, especially because all the technology's changed and everything. I mean, we all know. But I think touring is always going to be the most important thing for jazz. It's meant to be live. It's meant to be in the moment. Our audiences want that from us. You know what I mean? A record is wonderful, but it's just not the same.
You have talked in a number of interviews that you've done over the years about having those external forces kind of pushing you into specific places, either making you want to record songs that maybe you didn't want to, or a sound that you weren't interested in. Where is the comfort zone for you? Like, in the overall, you know, scheme of things musically, straight ahead traditional improvisatorial jazz or Great American Songbook stuff with strings, like, where is the best spot for Jane Monheit?
Kind of right in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, my heart and soul is the Great American Songbook. I mean, it's an obsession. I listen to the radio all day. I mean, I listen to the songbook all day long. Do you know what I mean? It's like I need it to live. And I feel very, very proud that I'm part of keeping it alive. That being said, you know what I mean? I also really want to swing, you know what I mean? And improvise and have things be that way and not have it be too schmaltzy and saccharine with all the strings and everything like that. You know what I mean? So I like a nice balance.
I was reading an interview about cellist Yo-Yo Ma, who over the course of his career has recorded the Bach cello suites a few times. And, you know, had a big gap of years in between where he matured, he had life experiences, he had a different perspective on those. You've been performing some of these songs from the Great American Songbook for 25 years now. I mean, since you're a teenager, how do you approach them differently now as a, you know, 40-something mom versus a college student?
Well, you know, it's just all the life experience comes through. You know, if you're doing your job as a singer and, you know, heart is on your sleeve and you're ready to tell the truth to people, you know, it all just comes out naturally. It's not something I really have to force. You know, it's weird. It's strange. And I'll hear old recordings of myself, you know what I mean, every now and then. And I can't believe how young and innocent I sound compared to now. You know what I mean? It's amazing how it happens, isn't it?
Will you play us another?
Well, you actually led me right to a really good example of this. You know, one of the things I did with this new album is I recorded some tunes that I felt I was sort of grown up enough to attempt, at least attempt, if not definitely succeed with. You know what I mean? So this is one of those tunes by Billy Strayhorn. This is Lush Life.
Oh, fantastic.
Used to visit all the very gay places, those come what may places, where one relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life, to get the feel of life from jazz and cocktails. The girls I knew had set in sullen gray faces, distant gay traces that used to be there, you could see where they'd been washed away by too many through the day. 12 o'clock tales. Then you came along with your siren song to tempt me to madness. I thought for a while that your poignant smile was changed with the sadness of a great love for me. Yes, I was wrong. Again, I was wrong.
is lonely again. While only last year, everything seemed so sure. Now life is awful again. A trifle of hearts could only be a boring. A week in Paris will ease the bite of it. All I care is to smile in spite of it. I'll forget you, I will, while yet you are still burning inside my brain. Romance is much, stifling those who strive. I'll live a lush life in some small doom. And there I'll be while I'll rot with the rest.
That is Jane Monheit performing Lush Life for us today on our JPR Live session from afar. She joins us from Los Angeles to share songs from the new record called Come What May, out on Club 44 Records. Information is online at janemonheitonline.com. You definitely do it justice.
Oh, thank you.
It's an unusual song to sing, isn't it? Like, structurally, it's just quite a bit different than most.
Well, it sounds like it on the outside, but when you really take it apart, you know, in terms of its form, the structure is pretty normal. You know, there's just so much harmony there, all that like rich, incredible stray horn harmony, you know, and then this lyric, forget about it. You know what I mean? And he was a baby when he wrote it. He was like 17 years old.
So why these songs for this record?
Well, you know, like I said, I was trying to attempt to take a go at some of these songs that I'd been waiting on for many years. You know, When a Woman Loves a Man, you know, tunes like that, The Man That Got Away, you know, all of these very, I guess they're all very sort of sad songs. It's funny because I'm like married to a wonderful guy. I explain that to audiences all the time. Like, I'm singing all of these terribly horrible songs about wicked, wicked men. I promise they're, none of them are Ricky. I promise. But there was that. And then there was, you know, a lot of them were pandemic inspired, like Samba Luvial, which, you know, we played earlier, which is a song about traveling. And, you know, I miss traveling immensely, you know, so, or I'm back to traveling now. So I missed it. But so it's sort of a doubly themed album.
You have recorded a number of Jobim tunes over the years. Singing in Portuguese, what is that like? And how did you dive in and start to learn the intricacies of Portuguese to sing it?
Well, it meant a lot to me to do so because of my great respect for the music. I didn't just want to sort of like Americanize everything, you know? So I learned from lots of friends. I studied albums like crazy. I took some lessons, you know what I mean? I worked on it really intensely during my 20s, especially. I probably could use some brushing up now.
What's the feedback been like from people you know who speak very fluent Portuguese?
Oh, it's really good.
Are you doing a good job with it? Like, I wouldn't know. But
everyone tells me I'm doing great. So if I didn't, and if I didn't have, you know, that, if I didn't have that backup, you know, I'd be working on it even harder. Although I do think I need to brush up a bit.
do you do much writing and arranging yourself, or do you leave that to bandmates? And
I leave it to bandmates. I do like to write lyrics for other artists, and I do here and there. But in terms of arranging, Michael Kanin, my East Coast pianist, and Neil Miner, my East Coast bass player, end up doing pretty much all of the arranging. And those two guys, I mean, they're like my brothers. They live inside my brain. So I give them a tune. I give them a backstory. I give them a key. I give them a tempo. I give them all that. And then they write me a chart.
Well, they turn out great. Jazz seems like the one genre that is the most difficult to break a new song into. Right? I mean, there's the standards. And like in bluegrass and folk music and rock music, an artist can put out a new song and it's embraced and loved and becomes a favorite. But in jazz, it just seems really hard to break into that esteemed crop of tunes.
Yeah, it is for vocalists, really, especially. For instrumentalists, it's a lot easier because they're expected to write their own albums and, you know, turn out all these new tunes all the time. But for vocalists, it's like impossible. You know what I mean? And there are so many songwriters that, you know, will reach out to me like, oh, I have this great tune for you. And I'm always like, I'm so sorry, but I can't record that. Do you know what I mean? Like it's, do you know what I mean? Like I have to do this. It's also a business, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and we can't always just do everything that we want artistically. We have to think about business too, you know what I mean? And I'm an entertainer, and I really think hard about what my audience wants from me. I love them. They're amazing people, you know.
I'm glad that you mentioned business. I want to wrap our conversation by talking a little bit about the business of jazz as it applies here in the United States. I mean, I'm not saying anything that you don't know better than most, but here in the States, jazz has been an uphill climb for a long time. And I'm sure the pandemic has not helped the health of those rare venues across the country that do entertain straight-ahead traditional jazz. Where do you see this going over the next couple of years? Because there's another generation of jazz performers behind you that are hoping to be able to capitalize on opportunities the way you were able to and create a career. What do you see the path forward for them?
Well, you know, honestly, there's a really large community of young people that really love this music now. So I do think there will continue to be an audience for it. I do. I think it's kind of eternal. Do you know what I mean? Because it's about creativity and self-expression and all of these things. It's always going to attract people. There's always going to be this, you know, special energy around it. You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know how great I feel about the future of the Great American Songbook, but in terms of instrumental jazz and what's going on there and, you know, thriving, everything is beautiful. But the songbook, I'm working hard to do my best to keep it alive. And I know a lot of other people are too.
Yeah. Well, we'll be here for you either way. I promise. I'm so thrilled you had time to chat and perform for us. It's been a long time in planning, and I'm really grateful.
Oh, gosh, anytime.
Hey, how are your dogs? I know that you do dog rescue.
They're so awesome. I have two dogs and two cats. They're all rescues. And luckily, none of them are in the room right now because they'd all be climbing me and making a racket. But
That's kind of become a thing in broadcast over the last year and a half is the sound of pets in the background.
I know, right?
We're getting kind of used to it. Jay Monheit is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. Her new record is called Come What May. It's on Club 44 Records. Jane Monheit online, the website. Will you play us one more tune?
Yes. This is one that I have not recorded yet, but hope to.
Excellent.
Very, very pandemic inspired. This is a song about being trapped and wanting to be free. This is by Stephen Sondheim from the musical Sweeney Todd. Very, very different arrangement of the tune. This is called Green Finch and Linnet Bird, arranged by Max Hamer. Green Finch and Linnet Bird, Nightingale, Blackbird, how is it you sing? You jubilate sitting in cages, never taking wing.
with the sky waits beckoning, beckoning just beyond the bars. How can you remain staring at the rain, maddened by the stars? How is it you sing anything? How is it you sing? Green finch and linnet bird, nightingale, blackbird, how is it you sing? Whence comes this melody constantly flowing? Is it rejoicing or merely hallowing? Are you discussing or fussing or simply dreaming? Are you crowing? Are you screaming? Robinette, is it for wages singing to be sold? Have you decided it's safer in cages singing when you're told? My cage has many rooms, damask and dark. Nothing there sings, not even my lark. Larks never will, you know, when they're captive. Teach me to be more adaptive. Finch and linnet bird, nightingale, blackbird, teach me how to sing. If I cannot fly, let me sing. Blackbird, how is it you sing? Whence comes this melody constantly flowing? Is it rejoicing or merely hallowing? Are you discussing or fussing or simply dreaming? Are you crowing? Are you screaming? Ring dove and robinet, her rage is singing to be sold. Have you decided it's safer in cages singing when you're told? My cage has many rooms, damask and dark. Nothing there sings, not even my lark. Larks never will, you know, when they're captive. Teach me to be more adept.
That is Jane Monheit singing for us today on our JPR Live session from afar. Unrecorded tune. It's called Greenfinch and Linnet Bird. Her new record is called Come What May. It's out on Club 44 Records. You can find information and much more at janemonheitonline.com. Jane, thanks so much for doing this. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you. Anytime. Thank you so much for having me.